We're talking about tech in our life here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So the iPhone 12 has been out for 11 days. Are you upgrading or going for the 12 Pro Max, the largest iPhone ever? Are you wondering when 5G will be real? Or is high speed where you are a distant connectivity dream? Are you wondering about T-Mobile's new TV service that's taking on Hulu and Sling? So much to get at with your questions on plans, on bundling, devices to fit your life. We're at 800-642-1234. Roger Cheng is head of news at CNET, where he oversees coverage of everything from Apple and Samsung to digital media and Amazon. His podcast is called The Daily Charge, with analysis on all things tech, and he calls himself a geek at heart. Roger, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk internet first, and allow me to set the scene here in Wisconsin. We have a total of about 81 internet providers. We're the 25th most connected state. Quite a few issues with broadband speeds, and Earthlink and Spectrum are available statewide, Spectrum being a cable connection. What should we consumers consider while searching for an internet provider?
So that's a great question. It's a complicated question because there is no silver bullet for finding the best home broadband plan. You really do have to do your homework. You need to figure out, you know, what providers are in your area. You know, there are a number in Wisconsin, but not every provider serves every area. So you really have to be aware of what the competition looks like. And you have to be aware of, you know, what you need, right? How many people are in your household? How many folks are streaming video? How many smart devices do you have that connect to Wi-Fi? Just to get a sense of what your bandwidth needs are. And then, you know, that's when you come from that sort of educated, informed approach, that's sort of the best position to be in to get the best deal. But it's really about doing your homework and figuring out what your options are.
And so much has changed in the pandemic. When kids are at home doing virtual schooling, they're on devices all day long doing their schoolwork, and people are working from home. So our bandwidth needs have changed dramatically.
Absolutely. That's a fantastic point. I mean, I, at the beginning of this lockdown, I called up my ISP to upgrade the bandwidth. I imagine a lot of folks were doing that. You know, again, it's really important to sort of do your homework, figure out what your options are, because oftentimes, you know, the service provider you're using, especially if you're off any kind of contract and you're sort of free to leave, you know, that is an opportunity for you to call up, you know, ask for better bandwidth and a break in your bill. And oftentimes they'll do that. They'd rather, especially if you're, you know, a customer in good standing, they'll likely throw in more perks, more benefits, you know, faster package, and even sometimes a lower bill. They'd rather do that than risk you leaving and jumping to a competitive service. So, again, it really pays to do some homework and to not be afraid to ask for more and to be willing to leave.
So if you up your speeds, how do you know you're getting what you pay for?
That's a great question. There are obviously speed test sites like mm-hmm. speedtest.net that will give you an indication of what your bandwidth is like. You know, the other thing is making sure you've got the right router. Oftentimes the real bottleneck isn't with the speeds, but it's with the router in your home. You need to make sure that if the router is being supplied by your internet provider, that it's the correct one. It's the correct hardware that is able to handle the additional bandwidth you just ordered. Or if you're not satisfied with that, you can go out and get your own router that ensures that you've got, you know, higher speeds coming out. And so, again, a lot of this requires you to do a bit of homework. I will say at CNET, there are plenty of sites or pages and resources that give you ideas for the right router and really how to check your internet. And just a little bit of homework goes a long way.
We're talking with Roger Cheng, head of CNET News, host of the Daily Charge podcast. We're talking speed, connection, all things tech with your questions front and center. How well does the Wi-Fi work at your home? Are you shopping around for a new internet service provider, a new ISP? What kind of deals are you seeing out there? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Roger, explain for us, how can you do a test of the speed of your internet at home? What is the best way to do that?
I often run just a speed test. You can go to speedtest.net or there's fast.com, and you can sort of run a bandwidth test. It'll ping a nearby network and will give you a good sense of what the upload and download speeds are. Oftentimes I do that on my phone. Well, at least when I used to go outside, I used to do it on my phone all the time. But nowadays I every once in a while kind of run the test here at home just to get a sense, because in my apartment, I don't get speeds aren't equal across my entire home. Like on the other side of the apartment, where I'm a little bit further away from my Wi-Fi router, the service is a little spotty, or sometimes it doesn't connect at all. So oftentimes I like to run those tests to see just how effective the Wi-Fi is, or if I need to rely on my phone's cellular hotspot.
Yeah, that's why my kids like to congregate in the basement. And they're like, "Mom, it's faster down here, don't you know?" Whereas I would like to stay in upstairs, away from them. But certainly where your router is placed can have an effect on your connection speed.
Absolutely. And there are devices out there, mesh Wi-Fi systems that you could buy. Google makes one. There's one made by a company called Eero that basically extend the network out so that you don't have to stay in your basement. You can be upstairs in your bedroom, sort of in the comfort of your bed using Wi-Fi. So there are definitely options. And so if you do have those Wi-Fi issues, if your home is fairly large or it's got thick walls, those kinds of Wi-Fi extenders are good options.
How does the speed of your internet affect the price of your plan? Is there a lot of variation out there?
Yes, so that's a fantastic question. And the answer is yes, and it varies in terms of what that variation looks like. Different carriers have different deals. Even different geographies have different deals, even if it's the same ISP. And it really is dependent upon
Wait, different
local.
geographies? What do you mean by that?
Like your ISP can offer you, and an ISP will offer potentially you a different deal than someone else, in the next town over.
Oh.
Not all deals are equal, and the services that it's usually it comes in the form of promotions, things you can get back, whether it's money back you get, or you get Amazon or American Express gift card, and so those deals vary greatly based on kind of where you are, even sort of the demographic that you're in. It's apologies for that. So
There's a
again,
deal right now, Roger.
I know exactly.
Deal for
So
more
yeah,
work.
definitely yes. That is the reminder that my kids gotta go to school soon. So I've gotta. Don't worry, I'm fine. I'm here the entire hour yet. Don't worry.
Let's take a call now. Karen is joining us from Iowa County. Hi, Karen.
Good morning. When we bought our beautiful property out here, we didn't think through the lack of internet connectivity. The house doesn't align with any of the Mount Horeb signal towers, the cable down in Hollandale, the satellite doesn't reach us up here, and we're left stuck with one of those satellite dishes. This summer, Alliant Energy pulled fiber optic right along our roadway. But there's no way for us to tap in because it's their private line. Why won't they share, and what are we going to do? A 45-minute drive from Madison, and we're in a internet desert out here.
In a dead zone. Karen, I want you to pause there and wait for Roger here as we take a quick break with Roger Cheng, head of news at CNET, covering the tech in our life. You can join in with your questions, your situation, like Karen, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Roger Cheng here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're talking about the tech in our life, working through the bundles of phone, TV, home internet, broadband. T-Mobile has a new bundle of live streaming channels with pricing that undercuts the competition. The bundle includes news and sports, the crowd pleasers. Are you a Sling YouTube TV or Hulu subscriber? What do you think? Are you sticking with cable? How do you manage the tech in your life? And what questions do you have about saving money? Join in 800-642-1234. Roger Cheng is head of news at CNET, and he's our guide. So, Roger, looking at Karen's situation, 45 minutes from Madison and is in a broadband desert, what would you say?
Yeah, unfortunately, that is it's a huge problem throughout America right now. There are 18 million Americans that don't have access to adequate broadband. And it sounds like Karen doesn't even have any broadband, really. There are a number of options. They're fairly limited. There's satellite Wi-Fi is an option. There's interestingly, like HughesNet is an option if you have satellite service now. That is one. It's a little bit more costly, and the service isn't quite as dependable. But that's definitely an option. We've got Elon Musk has been investing in some of these. He's got a startup called Starlink. He's trying to launch satellites that will make broadband available to more people. I don't know what her cellular service situation is like, but I know T-Mobile has been talking about offering home broadband service through its wireless service as well. So
Karen,
those are a couple of options.
Yeah, Karen, what is your cellular service like?
We have Verizon because we have a place in Michigan that's the only service that we get there on cellular. I don't know what T-Mobile is like out here.
Yeah.
So I'll just say that it's separate from your cell phone plan, what T-Mobile is launching. Verizon is doing something similar too, but they're really limiting that to its 5G service, which is only in a handful of markets. But T-Mobile has been talking about, and it'll likely launch early next year, is a fixed broadband service. So you'll have a router essentially that taps into their 5G network, and it broadcasts Wi-Fi near your home. So it's a replacement for your home broadband connection. And so it runs separately. It'll be a different bill than your cell phone plan. It's a different plan completely. You don't need to get T-Mobile cell service. It's basically T-Mobile home broadband service. So that's a potential option. But like I said, satellite is another option if you can't get home broadband. And yeah, Karen's problem is not unusual, unfortunately. There are millions of Americans out there who lack adequate broadband, and it is a real problem.
Karen, thank you for the call. Let's look more closely at cell phone plans. What should consumers prioritize when searching for a mobile plan?
So there are a number of factors. I think it's more complicated than ever doing research and figuring out which plan works for you, especially when you add the element of 5G, which the carriers can't stop talking about. And so there are a number of quote unquote unlimited plans, but all those unlimited plans have strings, have limitations. Again, when I talked about doing homework for your home broadband service, you have to do almost as much, if not more, homework for your wireless service, because there are all kinds of different options in terms of, how much high speed data you get before they start to slow you down. What other perks do you get? A lot of these carriers are now throwing in free services like Netflix or Disney Plus. And so there's a lot that goes into the calculation. And depending on, if you're a single person, the line's more expensive. If you're a family, you can bundle the lines and they're a little bit cheaper. So there are a lot of factors in play. But really, you have to look at how you're using your cell service, especially right now, right? With many of us still in lockdown, many of us working from home or just stuck at home in general, you don't necessarily need your cell service as much. You probably don't need that high-end plan. Which allows you the most data because you're usually at home using the Wi-Fi network. So those are some things you have to factor in when looking at which plan to choose.
We're talking with Roger Cheng, head of CNET News. He also hosts the Daily Charge podcast and all things tech, and he's helping us navigate our life in tech. What questions do you have about mobile data plans? How often do you go over your allowed data for the month, or do you have unlimited data? What are you thinking about in terms of 5G or in terms of changing a plan? Join in with your questions, your situation, 800-642-1234. 1-800-273-4. Roger, what strategies do cell phone carriers use to persuade us to switch to their networks?
Well, there are a number of strategies. You know, I mentioned the sort of the throw-ins, the free services like getting Netflix or Hulu or internet access to international data. These are services that, you know, are useful and make the bundle stickier. But you have to ask yourself whether or not you really need some of these perks, or if you can do a better job of getting that stuff yourself. The idea of the bundle is obviously another one, making things a little bit more or a little bit less expensive when you start adding in lines, but ultimately your bill is going to be larger. And so there are a lot of tricks that the headline feature of unlimited data is almost never actually unlimited data. At some point you hit a limit, or you don't have access to 5G, or there's usually some asterisk that you've got to look at to see what the plan really looks like.
Yeah, and I'm wondering too, there are the three big carriers, AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon. I know I switched to an MVNO, a mobile virtual network operator, over the summer, and things are going quite well. Can you tell us more about those options?
Yeah, and there are a number of these wireless resellers. They don't build their own networks. They don't invest in their own networks. They just buy time and capacity off of networks like Verizon and T-Mobile and Sprint. And oftentimes they offer some of the best deals. It really depends on the MVNO you work with. There are a number of different ones and they have sort of different plans. You know, TracFone has for a long time been the most popular because it was the cheapest. It was a prepaid service. You know, you bought the phone at a local drugstore and you're going to top off on that plan, and the service is pretty cheap. You don't get the best customer service. You don't necessarily get access to the newest phones all the time, although that's changing. But those are definitely options for people who are looking to find a cheaper plan. That these MVNOs oftentimes are a lot more competitive because it's sort of a no-frills approach to the service.
What are the pros and cons of having unlimited data? I mean, one of the reasons we switched was because we just weren't going near the amount of data that was being offered through the plan.
Yeah, and again, I think the calculus changes a little bit right now with all of us, or a lot of us, in lockdown. I think when we're all out and about and more on the go, having unlimited data was great if you were a big power user, right? You streamed video, you played video games constantly on your phone. Essentially, you spent the majority of your time on the phone while on the go. That's when unlimited data makes sense. I think right now, I know I probably hardly use any data at this point because my phone is always connected to my home Wi-Fi network.
Yep,
and
yep.
You know, for a lot of these plans, a lot of these contracts have been eliminated and you are able to switch from one plan to another, you know, it's a good reminder for you to rethink whether or not the plan you have is the appropriate one and whether or not you should be switching to a cheaper plan just to save some money in the time being.
Well, since we're discussing cell phone plans, what do you think of the iPhone 12?
I think if you are a Apple user and you've had an older iPhone for a while, an iPhone 7 or iPhone 8 or 10, you know, one that's 3 years or more.
What's wrong with my? Sorry, go ahead.
I will say it really comes down to battery life. And if your phone is slow, if your phone is 3 or 4 years old and it's still working fine, I don't think you necessarily need to upgrade your phone unless you lived your life on your phone, which I tend to do. I spend a lot of time. My kids occupy my TV, so I usually watch my shows on my phone. So I usually prefer to have a newer one, but there's a lot of hype this year about Apple getting into 5G, the iPhone 12 being the first 5G iPhone. That's a lot of hype. If you're really buying an iPhone for 5G specifically, I would recommend holding off until the networks get a little bit better, the coverage a little better, you're actually out and about and able to take advantage of 5G a little bit more. And the phones tend to get cheaper over time. There are deals that come up right now. You know, there's that mad rush to buy a new iPhone. There's the hype with the new iPhone. But unless you're looking to upgrade a phone that's older and starting to slow down a little, like 5G isn't necessarily a good reason for you to upgrade right now.
And you may not be able to plug it into your wall. I understand it uses a different cable.
So what they basically omitted the power adapter that plugs in the wall. Their argument is that if you've owned an iPhone before, you probably have a number of these power bricks in your home, and they're saying that this is a move to be more environmentally friendly. But it does kind of stink because the plug that they do, or the wire that they include, it's lightning, just like every other wire or iPhone wire you get. It's got a lightning port on one end, but the other end is a newer kind of port called USB-C, which not everyone has. So there's some complexity there for sure.
Roger Chang, head of news at CNET, covering tech giants, helping us make sense of the data, devices in our lives. Are you upgrading to an iPhone 12? What questions do you have for making your devices work with one another? Be part of this Tech Hour, 800-642-1234. We'll talk more with Roger Chang after a news update and get to your questions here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking tech in our life this hour of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I have to tell you, I switched my phone carrier over the summer to one of those MVNOs we've been talking about, and happy to report things are going well. I'm saving $40-ish dollars a month by foregoing a plan with one of the three big carriers. How is your cell phone plan? Can you get the coverage you need? Is the cost of your plan going up? What questions do you have about streaming TV services, an area we haven't talked about? It's 800-642-1234. Roger Chang is head of news at CNET and hosts the Daily Charge podcast. He's our guide to all things tech this hour. So, Roger, there's a lot of talk out there about 5G. Can you explain, first of all, what exactly is 5G?
Yeah, so 5G is the next generation of wireless service or cellular service, that's the G. But unlike the last version, when we went to 3G to 4G, it was pretty simple. Everyone got a big speed bump. It was essentially going from dial-up to home broadband for your cell phone. 5G is a little bit different because it comes in different flavors, really based on the carrier you have. And I'm just going to, at the risk of sounding too wonky or complicated, I'm going to try to break them down by the major carriers. Verizon was the very first to launch 5G, and they've got a flavor of 5G called millimeter wave. And what you really need to know is it's the fastest version out there. It's super fast. It is at times 2 to 3 times faster than your fastest home broadband service. So insanely high speeds, but it's extremely limited. It's only in major cities. I believe they're in about, they're close to 60 markets at this point. But even within those cities, you're hard-pressed to find them. They're essentially like souped-up Wi-Fi hotspots, often found within like one square block. They've also spent a lot of time investing in stadiums and other public areas, which unfortunately none of us are actually in right now. So like I said, they've got this super, super fast version of 5G, but it's pretty limited. And for a lot of folks, they're not going to get access to this for a while. And so that's one version. T-Mobile and AT&T have another version that they keep touting their nationwide 5G.
Yeah.
They're all starting to talk about that now, right? And
right.
So this version of 5G runs on a lower band of spectrum, and it essentially is slightly faster than your current 4G. In fact, in some of the tests we've seen, the 4G service at times is faster than 5G. And so there's like 5G right now is just a number of trade-offs and a number of compromises. So if you want a lot of coverage and actually be able to tap into 5G, the speeds aren't that great. And if you want that super, super fast speed, you have to basically use a treasure map to find it.
Be at the right place at the right time.
No, exactly. There's sort of a middle ground. There's this sweet spot 5G that's basically a compromise. It's got decent range and decent speed. It's not as fast as Verizon's super fast version, but it's better than what you would get with that nationwide service. And right now, actually, T-Mobile is the only one that has this kind of spectrum, these kinds of airwaves that are able to get this sort of sweet spot 5G. It's called mid-band. And they're rolling it out in a number of markets now. But again, it's still pretty early days for the deployment. There's probably a dozen or so markets that have it. So chances are you don't. And that's what I've really offered this warning or this caution to folks who are buying a new iPhone or really any high-end 5G Android phone, you know, looking to tap into one of these next generation networks. Chances are you will be disappointed. If you get service at all, you will likely be disappointed with how fast or not how fast, but how underwhelming the speeds are, at least initially.
Don't necessarily believe all the hype that we're seeing out there in the media and the advertising. Let's bring in Victor now in West Allis. Hi, Victor.
Hi, good morning. Hey, first, I heard that the streaming downlinking on your cell phone, it's okay, but if you want to uplink, it's going to be very, very slow. And number two is, not everybody is going to have this 5G within 4 to 5 years. The only question I haven't read yet is, how is it going to work indoors, like if you're in the basement or some obscure place?
Thank you, Victor. So, first of all, upload and download speeds.
Yeah, that's a really good point, especially for 4G and older cell technology. There's always been a big discrepancy. Even if you've got decent download speeds, upload speeds are always half, if not less than that. The good thing with 5G is, especially as it gets better, and it's still early days for this, but when the network gets built out, the technology gets a little bit better. One of the key benefits is the fact that upload speeds are close, if not quite at parity with download speeds. So you'll have a much more responsive network. There's something called latency, and that's that lag time between, you know, when you ping your phone to pull up a website and when it like travels to the network and comes back with the right information. And with 5G, the promise has been that latency gets down to a very, very short time, split second, to the point where things actually get into real time. In terms of upload download speeds, 5G is supposed to make it get better, but I think his point about whether or not everyone's going to get 5G is a good one. Particularly right now, if you don't have 4G service, chances are you probably aren't going to get 5G either.
And so what would be the difference between 5G, 4G, and LTE?
So 4G and LTE are the same thing.
Okay.
LTE is essentially another word for 4G.
Gotcha.
The idea with 5G is it's supposed to be a faster network. It's supposed to be a smarter network that's able to connect more devices. So all the different smart devices out there will run more effectively on 5G because the network is smart enough to know that, say, this refrigerator doesn't need a super fast internet connection. It just needs to be connected every once in a while. Whereas your phone, when you're playing Fortnite, absolutely needs all that bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of coverage, Victor also made that point about whether or not 5G would be accessible in places like, you know, your basement or those obscure corners. And I would say, particularly as I've explained those different versions of 5G, that version that Verizon talks about a lot, which is that super fast internet, that's really finicky. Honestly, if the wind blows the wrong way and leaves blow in the wrong in the direction of your service, like, it could potentially mess it up. And so it's very finicky. The nationwide 5G that, you know, T-Mobile and AT&T talk about, that's a little bit more. It's similar to that 4G coverage that you're used to. And so it's the same deal. If you can't get 4G where you are right now, chances are you can't get 5G either.
Talking with Roger Cheng, who is the head of CNET News, host of the Daily Charge podcast. He's helping us with the tech in our life. What do you think about 5G compatible devices? Are you excited about the potential of 5G or skeptical? Join in at 800-642-1234 with your tech questions. Let's bring in CJ now, joining us from Chippewa Falls this morning. Hi, CJ. What's your question?
Good morning. My question is, I'm visually impaired and I haven't used a cell phone or anything like that, so I have a landline. What would be kind of the best option for me to go?
If you want to get a cell phone and get cell phone service, is that what you're asking?
Not necessarily
Okay.
cell phone service, but internet service.
Internet, okay, yeah. CJ,
and would there be a cell service that would, you know, works better for visually limited people?
CJ, great question. Thank you. Roger.
Yeah, that's a great question. In terms of cell service plans, I don't know if there are any plans that that are particularly more appropriate than others for folks who are accessible or visually impaired. But I know that smartphones, your iPhone, Samsung phones, have a lot of accessibility components to it. You know, I just said don't buy an iPhone 12. But I will say that the iPhone 12 Pro that just came out has something called a LiDAR sensor, and that is, it's basically like a sonar for your phone. And there is a feature that they've put out called people detection. And it actually uses the sensor to detect people around you and alert you to your surroundings, which is kind of neat. And there are a number of accessibility features on these phones, you know, things like if you're on a website, it'll read out the website for you. That's been one of the big priorities for a bunch of these tech companies, which I do applaud them for, is that they've tried to make accessibility a real priority on these devices. You know, they have folks who are, you know, visually impaired or hearing impaired who work for these companies who offer their perspective. And as a result, you're starting to see more and more of these features. Companies like Apple, Google, Microsoft have talked about accessibility as a priority for a number of years now.
One more question on the issue of 5G. Can it drain your phone battery? What are the issues around that?
That's a great question. The answer is yes, particularly that super fast 5G network that I was talking about, that Verizon touts. That if you're on it a lot, your phone tends to run the battery tends to run out a lot faster. The phone actually heats up. And you saw this with the early generation of 4G phones as well, that when they were on 4G, the battery life tended to suffer, that they heated up a lot more frequently. That just sort of comes with the territory when it comes to the new network technologies. These things kind of settle out over time. After subsequent generations, you'll be able to see these radios handle the networks a little bit faster or more effectively. They're a bit more power efficient because what we're seeing right now is really that first and maybe second generation of 5G devices. And there's still a lot of kinks that need to be worked out.
Roger Cheng heads up news for CNET. He's helping us with the devices, the plans, the bundles that are all around us. Have you had to repair your damaged phone? Was it costly? Are you contemplating whether to ditch your cable or satellite TV subscription? Or during COVID, is your TV on a whole lot more? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute with Roger Cheng right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Roger Cheng now, head of news at CNET. As carriers continue to expand 5G coverage into more cities, as we've been talking about, and the big carriers all announce nationwide coverage, a lot remains unknown, especially, you know, when you're in the North Woods and lack high-speed internet access. Roger is hitting on many of your tech questions this hour, stays with us for 10 more minutes. Let's bring in Matt now in Nisida. Hi, Matt.
Hey there. I'm wondering if you guys could comment on iPhone versus Android or any of the other smartphone platforms out there so far. You know, there's only been mention of the iPhone 12, not necessarily the S20 or any of those others. I'm technically a millennial, although I don't identify with that generation, but I know that iPhones tend to be more popular with the millennial and younger generation. I'm wondering why that is.
Matt, thank you for all those questions. Roger, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. There was, I still recall the more fervent iPhone versus Android debate in years past, early in the early days of smartphones when people really took sides. At this point, there isn't really much of a debate. I think folks have settled into the platform that they've committed to at this point. You know, if you're an iPhone user, you tend to upgrade to the new iPhone. If you're an Android user, there's a bit more variation in terms of what phones you can buy, but you just tend to stick with Android. And I don't necessarily agree that you know, younger folks are more prone to buy an iPhone. I think it's a bit of a mix. And over the years, Apple has actually gotten really good at turning the iPhone into a mainstream device. So it's really the device that you're not just, you know, your kids want, but your mother or your grandmother want, because it's oftentimes easier to use. I will say, I think folks who prefer choice or prefer to customize their experience tend to go with Android. And again, I'm speaking with like overgeneralizing at this point. There's obviously a lot of nuance to how someone chooses their phone. But you know, I would say they're very competitive. If you're an Android user, a lot of the features that you've enjoyed, you know, Apple users are just getting now, like your widgets on your homepage, and vice versa. Some of the features that iPhone users have had, Android's getting. It's all kind of that parity. They're all really, really good at this point, which makes for a terrible debate.
But either like that, said, or you're terribly diplomatic.
Well, I think the bigger thing is folks are they're committed to what they have now.
Sure.
They're not going to change.
Right.
And that's the bigger thing. And yeah, like the Samsung Galaxy S20 or the Note 20 are good options. I really enjoy the OnePlus phones that are the sort of a lesser known brand that's been making a lot of hay recently. And of course the Google Pixel phones, which are sort of the flagship Android phones using the Android platform. Those are also good phones. And so it's I don't like to make recommendations for people on whether or not to buy one versus the other. It's really what you're more comfortable with.
All right. Well, let's thank you, Matt. Let's go to Saul in La Crosse. Hi, Saul.
Hi. Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Roger. I'm what we call the comic relief of the morning. And so I'm talking to you today. Can you hear me? On my Android Epic 4G phone from Samsung that was new 10 years ago, in the month of October. So I am calling because we're hearing a lot about the death of 3G and 4G. Everybody has to go to 5G. I am buying from a Sprint reseller on a phone that handles 3G just well, and it is actually capable of taking 4G. But, Kate, I'm calling in because I want to...
Oh, no, and Saul just dropped. Saul, are you there?
He's getting the good part, too.
I know. He was getting to the good part. But, you know, Saul is really fighting the good fight there on a phone that's 10 years old. You know, old tech works.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why you see people hang on to their phones for longer stretches of time, that, you know, 3 or 4 years. It used to be folks upgrade their phones every year or 2 years, and that time has lengthened, mostly because the phones have gotten more expensive, but also these phones come with pretty much every feature you want, and the subsequent generations don't really offer that many new bells and whistles, right? Like with the new iPhone, or really the new Android phones, the big selling point this year has been getting access to 5G, and, you know, I said earlier, 5G is something that you can probably wait on at this point. As to Saul, in terms of Saul and his question, I don't know if he's still listening, but the fact that his call dropped, he probably should get a new phone. But the 10-year-old phone, you should get a new phone. Your life will change dramatically. Phones have advanced quite a bit. I do remember that Samsung Epic phone that he's talking about. I held it in my hands more than a decade ago when it launched. You could do a lot better at this point, and it's probably worth an upgrade. I don't say that to a lot of folks who have phones that are 2 or 3 years old, but if your phone is pushing a decade, it's probably time for an upgrade.
We're talking with Roger Cheng, head of CNET News, also host of the Daily Charge podcast. Roger, we've talked all this time. We haven't mentioned streaming and entertainment streaming. You talked with T-Mobile's CEO, I think it was last week. He was talking about the T-Vision Live with a focus on the news and the sports. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, we've seen this over the last couple of years is new entrants like YouTube and Hulu and Sling coming in with an alternative to your live TV service. You know, this is for folks who, you know, are looking to cut the cord and kill the cable bill. These companies offer, you know, what's known as a skinny bundle that mm-hmm. are a bundle of live channels. That's not quite as comprehensive and cheaper than your traditional cable TV bundle. And the T-Mobile one's interesting. They've got one that's $10 that has a mix of entertainment channels. So it's not, you don't get local channels, you don't get sports or news, you know, but you get things like AMC to watch The Walking Dead and a handful of other channels. And you can spend a little bit more to get a more robust mix of it. And right now, the prices that are laid out are cheaper than what Sling or Hulu or YouTube offer. And it's partly because they want to use this service as a hook for cell phone for customers. Right now, only T-Mobile customers are eligible to sign up.
So T-Mobile customers in good standing can sign up for this. Is that right?
Exactly. I think later on this year, they're going to make it available to Sprint customers as well. But, you know, we talked with the CEO and he sort of hinted, he didn't outright say it, but when this plan or the service becomes available to non-T-Mobile or Sprint customers next year, the suggestion is that the service will be more expensive.
Mm, yeah, because, you know, cost of content keeps going up. So, you know, those carriers, they have to keep, you know, being able to meet those costs as well. So your plans just go up. Isn't that the case?
That's exactly it. You know, I remember AT&T offered a very similar service called DirecTV Now several years back, and it started around the same price. It had a huge bundle of channels, but like the price kept escalating over time, and they were bleeding customers. They continue to bleed customers now because the pricing for this is just, it's not sustainable. And you've seen this with YouTube and with Hulu and Sling. The prices do edge up because the cost to carry these channels just keeps getting higher and higher. Every time they have to renegotiate a new deal, the content costs go up. And keep in mind, this is just one option. And these live TV channels, live TV services are really meant to replace your traditional cable TV service. But there are a lot of folks who are just foregoing live TV completely and just sticking with things like Netflix and Disney Plus and Amazon Prime, because those tend to be cheaper and they tend not to have... and they tend to bundle in a little bit more better with your internet service plans.
Yeah, we just like to pick and choose in all aspects of our life. So, you know, as we start to wrap up, what are some of the biggest things that you're watching for in the next few months?
Well, the content, the streaming wars are definitely, as we were just talking about, heating up, right? We've got a number of these services. And really, I'm looking at how folks kind of negotiate the number of different services, because there's always this hot new show, but because of the fact that we've got six or seven different streaming services, they're all on different services, and you're spending like another $10 here, another $10 there, and all of a sudden you're spending more than you did when you had that traditional cable package. So that and 5G, I'm always interested in where 5G is going and whether or not it gets better to the point where I would recommend it.
Roger, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Roger Cheng is head of news at CNET, host of the Daily Charge podcast. If you missed any part of this discussion, you can listen back to it in its entirety later this morning at WPR.org/mornings. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.